Tonight we're going to be looking at a few verses from the book of Habakkuk. Here is a prophet of God who expresses in the opening verses of this book his frustration with things that are happening. He cries out to God. He expresses deep concern about things that are happening that he feels like are not being dealt with by God. And what he speaks is something that sometimes we may even feel when we look around in the world in which we live, in our society. We see all kinds of bad things happening, seemingly people doing wrong, getting away with it. Nothing ever changes. It's just getting worse and worse and worse over the decades in terms of the climate morally in our society. And it's sometimes disappointing. And yet, there's something that God wants us to understand. And he explains it to the prophet. So beginning in verse 1, he says, "The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife, and contention arises." So the prophet has been apparently speaking to God for quite some time. He says, "I've been crying out to you." And what he is crying out about is what he sees. And all of these bad things are happening. This is not, you know, nations around coming. It's not the violence of nations surrounding them. But this is the violence that is being done Jew on Jew. God's people are not righteous. They have forsaken the ways of holiness, treating each other properly. The law had lots to say about how they were to deal with one another. But what he sees is sin all around, trouble that is being stirred up by the people. And he talks about this plundering and violence. So often, as was the case, and Jeremiah dealt with this in his prophecies, you had those who had power who were abusing those who didn't have it. Those who had material wealth taking advantage of those who did not. And so there was abuse taking place. And this was continuing, the strife, the contention. Nothing was changing. He had been pleading with God in regard to this. This is the cry that should go out from God's people. And in fact, God wants us to speak to him about our concerns. And we should be concerned when we see a world full of sin and corruption, because this is something that needs to change. Hearts need to change, lives need to change, so that the future of a nation can change. Because here's the reality. If people continue in sin and do not repent, there will be repercussions that the nation will feel. The nation will continue a downward spiral. And this was being seen by the prophet. And he's wondering, "Lord, aren't you going to do anything? Isn't something going to change?" And therefore, he pleads with God. What do we cry out for, Christians, today? I suppose brethren in various parts of the world might have different cries depending on what they're going through, what they see happening. But we today, certainly in our country, should be crying out to God because of the legalized killing of unborn children, because of the tolerance of and even embracing of homosexuality and all kinds of sexual perversion, the widespread practice of divorce for any reason, the moral breakdown and corruption of society, the apostasy that we see even in the church as the old paths are departed from and left behind. But then, after his cry concerning all of his concerns, and that's the right thing to do, he goes to the right one who can do something about this, God himself. There is this expression in verse 4 of what he is really concerned about. Because he sees all of this happening, he says, "Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds." Here the prophet expresses concern because God's law is known, God's law is proclaimed, and yet it seems like God's law is toothless. Nothing is happening. It's powerless to do anything. Nobody's listening to it. Nobody's heeding it. No justice is being served. Wickedness continues and continues. What's being done, he says? The wicked surround the righteous. So here are innocent people, have not done anything wrong, and yet their justice is not being rendered. They are taken advantage of. Justice is perverted, and it continues to happen. What we know is that, in fact, God chastises and rebukes through His Word, through prophets such as Habakkuk. No doubt He was doing the work He should have done, as others had been doing, and yet He's seeing no fruit, no change. This was frustrating to the prophets who served Judah and Jerusalem, because we know in a much more detailed fashion from the lengthy book of Jeremiah that the people were very hardened in their sin. They refused to listen to the pleading of a prophet who loved them, a prophet who would lament over the fall of Jerusalem in the very next book, the book of Lamentations. And yet, these were men who knew this is something that God needs to do something about. And this is what the prophet Habakkuk is frustrated with. We, in fact, as servants of God today, are to be doing the work of calling men to repentance, just as was widely done during the day when John the Baptist went forth, and then Christ came, and the apostles were sent out, calling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is here now, and we need to be calling people to repent and come and be a part of it. The judgment day is coming, and all have to be prepared. There has been in the past, and even today are, judgments on nations that continue in sin. We need desperately to turn our nation around from its path toward self-destruction, because there are many things that have gone on for many years that God is fully aware of. We are too, and certainly, without a doubt, prayers have been ascending from the saints in regard to these concerns, because things do not look good. However, all is not dark. All is not gloomy for God. God is a God of justice. We need to have faith in Him that He will deal justly, even though sometimes it seems the wicked prosper, continue in sin, the righteous suffer, and it seems nothing is changing. And yet we know God answers. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. Here is the chastisement of the Lord that will take place. Look among the nations, God says to His prophet who is crying out to Him. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth and possesses dwelling places that are not theirs. What God is revealing to the prophet is He is going to do something. He has been watching. He has been waiting. He has been patient. He has been giving His people time and opportunity to repent. He is a gracious and loving and merciful God. But most assuredly, God will not forever ignore sin and evil. He will deal with it properly. And we, as we live our lives for God and serving Him faithfully, calling men to repentance, need to remember God also makes a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Those who follow Him and do His will not suffer the judgment of God's wrath upon them, for they're innocent. They are righteously walking with Him. We can look forward to peace with God eternally one day. And here in this life, we may be surrounded by troubles and trials. We may see wickedness, and yet we know that God will one day deal with it all. He does, and He may take care of it in a sooner sense, in the sense of judging nations. However, what we know is that no matter what our nation's path is that it chooses, we individually and as a church and as a people of God must choose the path of righteousness, being a light in the midst of darkness, and all the meantime seeking to call people, the good hearts, the searching souls, to the truth, because God's word will not return to him void, and there are those who will heed, and in fact, they're looking for some sort of an oasis in the midst of a world of despair. They're looking for healing. They're looking for hope. And we as God's people can point them to the church, point them to the one who purchased it, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you are here tonight, not yet a member of the body of Christ, you can turn to him for the hope of salvation, be added by God to the family that will live forever one day in heaven. The family that here on earth will continue to proclaim and live before the world that which brings honor and glory to God. But in order to be a part of that people, there's a plan that God has set forth in his word for us to obey, involving faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ. And as we do believe in and follow, that is, obey those commands of God, God adds us to the church. He makes us a part of the family, and he washes us clean of all of our past sins. We live with hope. We persevere through this life and all of its trials, and we look forward to the time of reunion and the time of being with our God and the reception of all that God has prepared for us, the heavenly reward. If you're a child of God already, does your life demonstrate faithfulness and obedience to the will of God? Do you need to come home to him? Do you need to respond and be cleansed and resume a walk with God? If so, that's a decision you can make tonight. We'd be happy to help you. We're going to sing a song, and if you need to come, won't you do that as we stand and sing?